Divine Entertainment production. In association with Merlin Films Group. The Inventors Specials. On a sunny afternoon in the early 1950s, a black man picks litter off a school's front lawn. Einstein, light to the power of two. Inside the school, a young black girl cleans a blackboard behind her teacher, a white woman seated at a desk. The girl turns.
I tried to give you the benefit of the doubt because you're new to our school.
She returns Lanny's math test, graded D+.
Well, I suppose we all find our place in the world.
Lanny shakes her head and frowns unhappily. Elsewhere, in a lecture hall...
Like all things in our mathematical universe, the solution is elegant, ordered, and predictable.
A middle-aged woman enters and taps her watch.
It would appear my old nemesis, time, has defeated me again today. Thank you for your attention.
The lecturer, an elderly man with long, bushy gray hair, approaches the woman.
At radio interview is this evening. I have the address, Midtown, New York. Our train leaves at 5. I think you should get a bite to eat in the dining room. But please remember your diet. No fats, no salts, no sweets.
Yes, yes, yes. Dr. Ehrman's prescription to prolong life. Avoid everything that makes life worth living.
Created by David Devine and Richard Moser. Lanny walks along the street, dejected. Casting, Anne Tate and Elizabeth Ritchie. Editor, Gordon McClellan. Lanny walks through a poor neighborhood. Production designer, Cameron Porteous. Director of photography, Rick McGuire. Written by Raymond Story. Co-producer, Kieran Corrigan. Lanny climbs the front steps of a church. Produced by Richard Moser. A sign reads, First Baptist Church, Princeton, New Jersey. Produced and directed by David Devine. Inside, a man leads a choir in practice. Smiling, Lanny walks down the aisle.
People. See you on Sunday. Princess!
The choir master scoops her up and swings her around affectionately.
We gotta keep running today. I'm gonna drop you off at the university and Mom will walk you home.
How come?
I got a singing job, Lanny. Downtown Trenton and real cash money.
She looks at him dubiously.
Now, I expect grief from your mama, but not from my girl. Thank you, that was great. See you Sunday.
Lanny hands her father her test paper.
Well, science and math weren't my favorites either. Did you do your best?
That won't be good enough for Mama.
I know what you're saying. Got something for you.
He gives her a small paper bag.
Hey, you brought me jelly beans.
I'll talk to Mama about the test, and you can break the news. I'll be working downtown and might be home a little late.
Lanny shakes her head.
Okay, come on.
They leave the church together.
Grab your coat and get your hat.
Later, Lanny walks into a cafeteria kitchen. A young black woman sees her and walks over to her, concerned.
Your father just dumped you here? Where'd he go?
Lanny shakes her head.
We're gonna have to have a talk with your father. He's supposed to be watching you. You can't hang around my workplace. Do you have your homework with you?
Yes.
The dinner shift comes on soon. Wait out in the quadrangle and... don't bother anyone. You hear me?
Lanny leaves, and her mother hurries back behind the cafeteria counter. Albert Einstein, the bushy-haired lecturer, arrives with his tray.
Miss Dukas has given us strict instructions.
A cafeteria worker serves him a plate of food.
Cabbage.
As two white students approach, Lanny's mother burns herself serving a hot plate and puts her finger in her mouth.
You touching our plates after your dirty mouth?
Pardon?
Keep your fingers out of our food.
Perla, go wash your hands.
Wait, no, it was burning me.
Takes a sweet time, too.
Sorry, gentlemen. You have everything you need?
The students leave, watched unhappily by Perla. In the dining hall, as Einstein chokes down his cabbage, a tall man approaches his table.
I don't mean to interrupt your meal.
Sit, Dr. Oppenheimer. Please join me.
I wanted you to know I've been called down to Washington for a few days.
Oh, yes?
I've been asked to meet aides to Senator McCarthy regarding the Committee on Un-American Activities.
Do they think we hide communists under our desks at the university?
These are troubled times for all thinking people.
What of your record? Your contribution to the nuclear effort? They will not dare call you before the committee?
We shall know shortly. I hope I haven't ruined your lunch.
I don't know which is worse for my appetite, the state of the country or this menu.
I'll see you next week.
A little later, Lanny does her homework lying on the grass in the quadrangle. As she reaches into her bag for a jelly bean, Einstein notices and heads toward her. The two students from the cafeteria swagger up.
Excuse me, this campus is private property.
Lanny ignores them.
Are you deaf? What do you think you're doing here?
It would seem obvious. She is studying. What could be a more appropriate use for these grounds? Go along now, on your way.
The students walk off. Einstein sits on a bench nearby.
You are doing your homework, I hope?
I'm trying. I'm not real good at math problems.
Mathematics is simply a matter of seeing the pattern or sequence and following it to its conclusion.
Huh?
Let me see your problem.
You want to help me?
Why not?
Why would you?
For one of your jelly beans, I would help you solve half a dozen problems.
Don't take the red ones. They're my favorite.
Reclining on the grass, Einstein takes a jelly bean and pops it into his mouth.
Now, let me see your book. So you don't care for mathematics?
Mm-mm.
What do you hope to be when you grow big?
She shrugs.
Well, what do you want to be?
I don't know what I'd be good at.
What more would you like to be? You must have a dream.
Not a real one.
Do you like school?
Not anymore.
I didn't care for school either. My teachers were drill sergeants. No sense of the joy of learning.
Joy? I don't see a lot of joy in it. What I've seen, school won't make a difference to me anyway.
Oh, there is great joy in learning, believe it or not, even in mathematics.
I think I got enough math to get by already.
How could anybody be happy simply to get by? Especially if one accepts that mathematics may hold the key to unlocking the mysteries of the universe.
Lanny is skeptical.
Lanny, I can walk you home now. I'm sorry if she's bothered you, sir.
It is I who should apologize. I did not keep my bargain. Not a single problem solved. Perhaps tomorrow.
Lanny and Perla walk off.
He's nice, Mom.
I've looked everywhere for you.
Miss Dukash approaches. Einstein hurries off. Later, Lanny's father sings in a bar.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound.
Outside the Blue Tone Bar, a bus stops.
They all laughed at Gruber and his brother.
Lanny and Perla get off.
What has gotten into you? You did a lot better in school before we moved.
This bitch doesn't like me.
Teachers are paid to teach. Doesn't matter whether they like you.
You want me to talk to Miss Fitch? Well, do you? Or are you going to pull up your socks?
I'll pull up my socks.
Yeah, you better.
Inside.
They all said that we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how.
Lanny and Perla walk into the Blue Tone.
Who's got the last laugh now?
Lanny's father spots them. He hustles over to them.
Cliff.
It's only three nights a week.
The manager interrupts.
We can't have your daughter here. This is a nightclub, not a Sunday school.
Lenny, wait over there in that chair. We moved to Princeton to get a new start. You just got that caretaking job. It's steady work with a future.
Yeah, right.
It's a regular paycheck. I just stood over a steam table for 8 hours straight.
Sorry you have to work so hard.
I do what I have to. Are you going to keep us on 3 nights pay and tips? Who's going to watch Lanny?
What's wrong with how it worked out today?
She's not supposed to be there, Clifton.
Just walk Lanny home, please. We'll talk tonight, I promise.
He hustles back to the stage.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round.
Lanny and Perla leave.
When Edison recorded sound. They all said that we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how. But oh, who's got the last laugh? Let's get the best laugh. Ha ha ha. Who's got the last laugh now?
That night in his study, Einstein plays a record. Stepping to a table, he opens a violin case and reverently removes the instrument inside.
Is there anything else before I'm off to my bed?
No, thank you. Good night, Dukas.
I don't think I've ever heard you play that violin before. Do you intend to do that now?
I only wanted to look at it, to consider my youth.
He replaces the violin.
I think the radio interview went rather well.
I've heard those same probing questions 1,000 times. I should by now know the answers. Everybody wants to know my opinion.
Such is the price of fame.
My opinion doesn't matter much. The world does as it pleases.
You seem troubled. Is there anything in particular?
I'm an old man with an angry stomach and a bad heart. How much more trouble do I need?
As she arranges some papers on a desk, he looks at a newspaper.
Why must this McCarthy plague the ranks of science? Is it so difficult to grasp in the land of the free that free and informed thought can only occur when people are free to discuss and think?
I'm sure Dr. Oppenheimer will convince them.
If he can get stones to grow ears.
She smiles dreamily.
Mozart. Why do you enjoy him so much?
Because he was God's gift to us. My motto for music appreciation is simple, Dukas. I listen, I love, I revere. And I keep my mouth shut.
With a fond smile, she pats his arm and leaves the room. Einstein sits alone, lost in the music. The next day, he spots Lanny studying in the quadrangle.
I was hoping I might find you here.
Oh, hello.
I've brought something, especially to show you.
Sitting on a bench, he digs in his pocket and pulls out a small object.
Notice how the needle always finds its way to magnetic north.
It's a compass.
Only a compass. But have you ever considered why it works or how? In our everyday world, we preoccupy ourselves with only that which we can readily understand. What we see, hear, feel. But nature itself tells us there is much more. There are so many things around us that our senses cannot explain. Like, what invisible force always draws that needle point north?
He hops up and leads her around the bench.
Behind the bench! Still it finds north. Over here.
He leads her behind a tree.
Over here, north once more.
Lanny looks after him skeptically, then follows him toward a building.
Again, through a stone pillar, 100 years old.
Wow, can I see it?
He puts the compass in her hand.
Most people go through their everyday not the least concerned about where the universe begins or ends. I might well have lived my life as a plumber or a seller of feather beds had not one day my father showed me a compass and caused me to question.
They walk together.
It kindled in me a lifelong need to know how nature worked and why. Inadvertently, what my poor father had awakened in me was something more valuable than the dull recitation of times tables. His compass showed me there was a force in nature, a magic. And for the first time in my life, I experienced wonder.
Perla watches them from a distance, perplexed. Later.
So, Lanny, you think now you might want to be a scientist someday?
Mm-hmm. Lanny's not a girl to go on. She hasn't got the grades. And we don't have the money if she did.
If Lanny wanted to go to college, we'd find the money.
What are you doing about the job at the Blue Tone?
I could hold the two at once.
Well, I want you to promise me that if your job starts suffering because of the music, you'll give up singing.
Cliff walks away, annoyed.
I want you to keep the steady work.
Okay. I heard you. Why can't we ever do what I want? Why is it suddenly so important to do what you want all the time?
She looks at him hesitantly, then walks to his side.
Because we're gonna have another baby.
He's stunned.
Are you sure?
You're sure.
They all smile.
I won't lose the job. I promise you, whatever it takes.
They kiss and hug happily. Later at school, Lanny talks with other girls.
What are you doing for the science fair?
All the ideas are taken.
Miss Fitch says that the science fair is your only hope to pass.
Miss Fitch is gonna put you in remedial with the slow kids.
No, she won't.
Bet she does. You better think of something fast.
Later at the house, Miss Dukash hurries to answer the door. It's Lanny.
Is this Mr. Einstein's house?
Yes, it is. But Dr. Einstein is working. What do you want with him?
I want him to help me with my homework.
Your homework? Certainly not.
Who is it, Dukash?
Einstein arrives and sees Lanny.
Lanny, my friend, come in.
As Lanny walks in, Miss Dukash shakes her head and shuts the door. Later, Miss Dukash hands Einstein a tray.
This is a precious waste of time.
And it is my time to waste. Go type letters.
Those cookies are for the girl, not for you.
In the study.
So, how was school today? Scintillating as usual? Here, take one. Miss Dukash may have her shortcomings, but she makes a very fine butter cookie.
Is this you in the paper?
Such a fuss. It's been 50 years since I published my theory on special relativity.
Don't you like being in the paper?
Reporters. To hear these ignoramuses, E equals MC squared is responsible for the atomic bomb, the nightmares of war, the balance of world power. What rot. To say that E equals MC squared is responsible for the outcome of atomics is like saying the creator of the alphabet is responsible for the Bible.
What is it? E equals MC squared.
An equation. I set out to prove that a mass, solid as lead or iron, could turn into energy.
Lanny watches as a prism breaks a sunbeam into colors.
Energy. Like a sunbeam?
Yes, very good. I theorized that energy could be created if a mass were propelled many times faster than the speed of light. But the difficulty was there was no physical experiment to prove it.
So how did you prove it?
Mathematically. and I found that a mass would turn into energy if it traveled at the square of the speed of light. In mathematical symbols, that is E for energy equals M for mass times C, the symbol for light, squared.
Outside.
It's easier to accept Sir Isaac Newton's ideas on physics because they are reflected in our everyday world. Much of what we commonly believe of nature is based on what we experience, such as our concept of three-dimensional space or linear time. But what if even these things change? Who knows what may happen beyond the speed of light?
A car stops at a light, and they cross.
How can we imagine conditions at such speed? After all, light travels at 300,000 kilometers per second. Oh, you see, that's 186,000 miles per second. We know that a car traveling 30 miles an hour will travel 60 miles in 2 hours. But we do not need to get into the car with a stopwatch. We can prove it mathematically. 30 miles an hour times 2 equals 60 miles. And after detailed mathematical analysis, I discovered that at a certain speed, there is no difference between the makeup of energy and of mass. And that speed is light speed squared. So that is my equation. Energy equals mass times light to the power of 2.
She nods, understanding.
Light to the power of 2.
He nods happily and smiles.
Now, my young friend, you had some troubling homework question.
Sort of. Our class is having a science fair for the end of the year. It means a lot of my science mark. But all the ideas are taken.
All the ideas taken? All the experiments conducted, all the answers found. My life's work is finished. What is the solution to the paradox of the unified field?
Seriously, if I don't bring my mark up, I may have to go to summer school or something worse. Miss Fitch might put me in remedial with the slow kids.
I believe in you, my friend.
Back at his house.
Sit down.
They sit on the front steps.
All you must do is believe in yourself.
Will you help me do a science project?
Lenny, the true wonder of learning is discovering for oneself. There's nothing more exhilarating than that moment when the penny drops and you can say to yourself, now I get it. I know how it works.
Won't you even give me a little help?
If it's all right with your parents, you may come over after school some evening. You know, I would like to meet your parents.
Really? What are you doing Sunday?
Nothing in particular.
That's Sunday morning. Einstein claps beside Miss Dukas. Leads the choir as Lanny and Perla watch, smiling. When Miss Dukas starts moving to the music, Einstein looks at her in surprise. Later, in a boat,
Lenny,
on a pond.
A hypothetical equation. We depart from the bank at point A, that bridge, destined for point B, that tree, directly across the pond.
Cliff rows.
Now, if the current is faster than it is here in this pond, we would arrive further down the bank at point C. Now, if the pond is 50 yards wide, and we row at a constant speed of 2 miles per hour, but the current drifts southward at 1 mile an hour, what is the distance between point B and point C?
Impossible to tell.
Nonsense. It's pure mathematics.
But I can't row at a constant speed. My arms get tired. Then maybe I get a second wing, and the current would be different all over the place. Things aren't so simple in real life as they are in math.
Quite right.
Now, jinx.
Meanwhile, ashore.
You worked for Dr. Einstein for a long time?
25 years. Dr. Einstein's late wife was a friend of my sister, Rosa. They met in Germany at the Udische Waisenhilfe. That is an organization for Jewish orphans. The Einsteins were on vacation in America when Hitler came into power. It was 10 months before I was allowed to leave Berlin to join them. For years I was secretary. I took over housekeeping when Mrs. Einstein passed away.
Well, were you like family then?
Well, the spinster daughter, perhaps.
I can't imagine why Dr. Einstein has taken such a shine to our little girl.
I think maybe he sees her as a kindred spirit. Having been oppressed himself, he has empathy for anyone who may have been similarly disadvantaged. A colored child, an old Jewish man. No doubt he sees their similarities more than their differences.
Well, they seem to enjoy each other.
Yes.
Miss Dukash nods and smiles.
Apparently they do.
Aboard the boat.
To me, nature itself is a mathematical puzzle with remarkably straightforward and elegant solutions.
Can anyone ever figure out all the secrets of nature?
Where the universe begins and ends? What lies beyond? I believe so. God, they say, is mysterious, but I do not think he is malicious.
Are you a religious man, sir?
I revere nature. I believe in the possibility of harmony and a brotherhood of mankind.
Then you are.
If you say so.
Back at Einstein's house.
Thank you for a charming and diverting afternoon. Dukash thanks you as well.
Inside, Miss Dukash hurries to the phone.
Yes, hello?
Outside.
Have you come up with an idea for your science fair?
I'm still working on it.
I have every confidence in you.
Come quickly to the telephone. Quickly.
Lanny waves goodbye to Einstein and skips off. Inside the house.
Dr. Oppenheimer has been accused by the McCarthy Commission. They say he is a security risk. They say he is a communist.
Dismayed, Einstein takes the phone. Later, reporters approach the house.
Hey, here she comes. Here she comes.
As Miss Dukash comes out, flash bulbs pop.
Dr. Einstein is coming out.
This is Dr. Einstein's statement. I can only say that I have the greatest respect and the warmest feelings for Dr. Oppenheimer. I admire him not only as a scientist, but as a man of great human qualities. That is
all. Yeah, but does he agree with Dr. Oppenheimer's remarks?
What about Red sympathizers on the nuclear commission? Doesn't he have a comment?
There will be no further statements.
Ms. Dukas.
Inside, Einstein plays the piano. Ms. Dukas comes in and looks at him in concern.
You have made the right choice. Your statement is clear and supportive without drawing you in any further.
Is that how it will be interpreted? As though I am afraid to stand next to Dr. Oppenheimer for fear of catching his ideas like some foul, contagious disease? I've known and admired Robert Oppenheimer for years. I know his children. I speak to them every day when I walk home from the Institute.
That is not how it looks.
My distancing is subtle, but it is distancing just the same. Like the subtle distancing of my colleagues in Berlin when the fascists of that time asserted their views at the expense of all others. Who was it who said, Dukas, that evil will only prosper so long as good people do nothing? Get your dictation pad. I would like to prepare a new statement.
Later at the Blue Tone.
Sounds good, guys. Let's call it a night.
Mr. Willis, your cut of the tips.
Cliff heads toward her.
We did good tonight. The crowd was appreciative.
Well, this ought to make the wife a little happier.
Listen, I got a brother-in-law, books, clubs, bands, things like that in the tri-state area. It just might be worth your while for me to give him a call and invite him down to the club to give you guys a listen.
I don't know. I don't know if the band is in the position to hit the road.
Look, my brother-in-law is a busy man. And if you're not interested, I'm not going to waste his time.
The manager walks off.
Miss Lackey, call the man.
She smiles.
See?
At Lanny School, Miss Fitch steps toward the classroom door. Perla waits outside.
Class, continue to work quietly on your own. I'll just be down the hall.
In the hall.
Personally, I think remedial class suits the temperament of some students better. The class is smaller. They get more individual attention.
After a month or two in remedial, could a student return to regular class?
That's rare. The work is geared to the student's achievement level, and the main body of the class tends to move forward faster. For some, this is not a bad thing. The students concentrate on basic skills so that later they may confidently enter occupations class at a high school level, graduating with a 2-year diploma and a range of job-related skills.
I don't know what to say. Lanny was at least an average student in her last school.
When Miss Fitch drinks from a water fountain, Perla looks away.
I gather it was a larger school in Trenton where a student like Lanny might be accelerated through the system unnoticed. This is our remedial room. You may look inside.
They cross the hall and look into the classroom. Many of the students doze while their teacher touches up her makeup. Perla is shaken.
Why is it that so many of these students are colored compared to the rest of the school?
I'm afraid that just seems to be the way it is. There are many factors affecting a child's ability to learn. Attitude, aptitude, home environment.
But you wouldn't say color was one, would you?
Mrs. Willis, I don't know what you think you're trying to imply, but I don't appreciate that tone.
And what tone is that? Uppity? Is it an uppity tone?
I called you in to discuss what's best for your child.
We have discussed it. And I have decided that Lanny will tough it out in the regular class.
Very well. We'll deal with the consequences later.
With a forced smile, Miss Fitch walks away. Meanwhile, at the university...
Every citizen is equally involved in defending rights, but we as intellectuals have a special responsibility, as we have so strong an influence on public opinion. This is why some right-wing elements of our government are particularly determined to intimidate and muzzle us as a group. Now, it is especially important for intellectuals to do their duty and speak. The strength of our Constitution lies completely in the determination of every citizen to defend it.
Later, Perla and Lanny walk home. Perla is unpacking groceries in the kitchen and doesn't see Cliff tiptoe into the apartment. Lanny giggles at him. Perla spots him and crosses her arms.
Aren't you supposed to be at work?
Phyllis Lackey's brother-in-law came through for us. He lined up gigs for the band, straight dates for the next 3 months.
What about your other job?
Mother? I quit the janitor's job this afternoon.
Clifton! What if it doesn't work out? What about when the baby comes? You gonna go out on the road and leave me at home with Lanny and a newborn?
Maybe I could talk to the guy about keeping the dates close to home when the baby comes.
The baby isn't good enough. I am sick and tired of carrying this family single-handed.
Please stop yelling!
And I have certainly been put through enough grief today on your account, miss. You go to your room.
Lanny heads to the front door.
Lanny, you come back here.
This is between us. Don't take our troubles out on Lanny.
Lanny runs down steps outside.
You won't smooth things over this time. It's not that easy.
Oh, come on, baby.
No, I said. I think it would be better if you went away for a while and just left us alone.
Cliff stares at her sadly, then turns away. Meanwhile, Lanny knocks on Einstein's door.
Can I come in?
Dr. Einstein is a very busy man. Do you have any idea of the weight of matters with which he grapples every day?
I just want to see him.
Try to understand.
Miss Dukash walks out onto the porch and takes Lanny aside.
He is 75 years old and not very good in health.
I won't stay long.
Dr. Einstein is struggling to complete his work. It is of such a complex nature that no other living physicist is likely to unravel its secret if he does not do so in his lifetime. Do you really think that he has time to waste with little girls who won't do their homework?
No.
We must learn not to be so selfish.
Lanny turns away sadly. At the Blue Tone.
Sit there and count your fingers. What can you do? Old girl, you're through. Sit there and count your little fingers. Unlucky. Sit there and count the raindrops falling on you.
Lanny walks slowly toward a fountain.
It's time.
And sits down beside it.
All you can count on is. That fall on little girl blue. No use, old girl. You may as well surrender. Your hope is getting slender.
Perla looks forlornly out a window.
Why won't somebody send a tender blue boy to cheer little girl blue? When I was very young, the world was younger than I.
Einstein fidgets restlessly in his study.
As merry as a carousel. The circus tent was strong with every star in the sky. Above the ring I loved so well.
He picks up some papers and a coat and walks past Miss Dukash, who stops typing and watches him leave.
Gone are the tinsel and gold.
At the blue tone,
sit there and count the raindrops falling on you. It's time you knew. All you can count on is the raindrops that fall on little girl blue.
As Lanny sits listlessly beside the fountain, Einstein approaches.
My dear young friend.
Are you all right?
I'm not having a very good day.
Will you walk with me?
I won't keep you. You have important work to do.
What could be more important than to comfort a friend? Come along. Tell me what is troubling you.
What if I'm slow? What if I'm not as good as the others and belong in Remedial?
I have no doubt that you're as smart as the rest of your class. Smarter than some. And you know it too. It's a great tragedy in this world that some people of any kind of minority are treated unfairly as though they were inferior. This is a great tragedy. It's even sadder and more destructive if those people ever begin to believe it themselves. I know. I've had to put up with bullies and narrow minds all my life.
But I don't know what to do.
Be more determined to hold on to who you are.
Lanny, I've been looking for you. I was worried sick.
Mrs. Willis, Lanny was telling me about this remedial nonsense. You must not let this happen.
I'm doing my best.
Very important. You must do everything in your power to avoid this.
My power? You have no idea what life is like for me. Who do you think you are to give me lectures?
I was just meaning to be helpful.
You can fill Lanny's head with ideas and wishful thinking. That isn't going to change the world around her.
All life has its hardships. If we cannot engender a joy of learning, a quest for more...
Doctor, stop, all right? Just stop. You can start at point A and row across a river, but no matter how hard some people row, they're always going to end up further down the other side. Because there's a current that's always against them. And that's just the way it is. We're going home.
Confused, Einstein watches them walk away. Late that night, Cliff waits outside the Blue Tones. As he checks his watch, a police cruiser appears. Two policemen get out of the car and walk toward him.
You there?
Cliff rolls his eyes.
You live around here?
I'm just waiting for the number 18 bus.
The number 18's not an all-night.
Then I missed the last one?
You have identification.
Yeah, I guess so.
When Cliff reaches inside his jacket, the police grab him. They struggle with him. Then slam him to the sidewalk face down.
Lie still. Stay down. Stay down.
Meanwhile, at Einstein's house...
You must stop now.
Miss Dukash plunks a tray of food down on his desk.
I will finish what I have started.
You cannot work constantly.
She crosses the room and turns on a radio.
As I see it, Albert Einstein is nothing more than a refugee freeloader who places himself above the laws of the nation and to whom science is God. How dare he treat the people of America?
She turns the radio off, and Einstein shakes his head wearily.
Take this away. Allow me to bury myself in my work.
Later at school, as Lanny works on her science fair project, Miss Fitch peers over her shoulder with a disdainful smile. Lanny angrily crumples a piece of tinfoil. That night, a taxi stops outside the Blue Tone. Perla gets out, then walks into the bar. Miss Lackey sees her and approaches.
Well, thought you gave Clifton the old heave up.
I heard you had to bail him out of jail.
It was just stupidity. They had nothing to charge him with. He did nothing but be a colored man in the wrong place and at the wrong time.
Do you think I could see him?
He's got a break soon. Come. It's a free country. Or so they say.
Perla walks toward the stage.
My romance doesn't need a castle rising in Spain, nor a dance to a constantly surprising refrain.
Cliff spots her, and she smiles at him.
I could make my most fantastic dreams come true. My romance doesn't need my romance, doesn't need. My romance doesn't need a thing but you.
The next day, Einstein works at his desk.
You were thinking again, weren't you?
Of course I was thinking. I'm Einstein.
I meant you were brooding.
I work and work, and for what? To hear the public distortions of my stands and theories linking me to some made-up communist plot.
I hate to see you looking so defeated. You have a lifetime of achievement to look upon.
You think I can look upon my life's work with quiet satisfaction? No. There's not one single idea of which I'm certain. I'm not even sure I'm on the right road.
But you have always said the mysteries of nature will make themselves known. God is not malicious. You get to your feet. We are going out.
Out? Where?
Outside the school, a banner proclaims the science fair. Einstein and Miss Dukash walk onto the grounds.
I hope you haven't had your fill of science for today.
Einstein looks up and notices the banner.
Look who it is.
Cliff and Perla see Einstein.
Good afternoon, Doctor. Miss Dukash.
The Willises.
I should have called her something about the other day. I know you mean the best for Lanny.
Please, will you accompany us in?
They all walk into the school. Miss Fitch sees Einstein.
Albert Einstein, what an extraordinary honor. May I introduce myself? I'm Eleanor Fitch.
Miss Fitch, you teach the fourth grade, do you know?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
So you are the teacher of Lanny Willis?
I suppose I am. Dr. Einstein, if there is anything I can do to make your visit more enjoyable.
You may take my jacket and those of Mr. and Mrs. Willis.
Miss Fitch is taken aback. Cliff and Perla give her their coats. Einstein leads the way into a room full of science projects.
And now, introducing Lanny Willis.
Lanny walks onto a stage in front of an impressive model of the solar system made of balls of tinfoil.
Parents, teachers, students, and honored guests, The subject of my display is light.
A fan starts the model turning.
Light is a wonder of nature, an inspiration to students of science and God. It is a wonder both ancient and mystical. Traveling across space at over 186,000 miles per second, or 300,000 kilometers per second. It is the measuring stick against which all physics are relative. It is the source of life on this planet. But the thing I like most is its color. People think light has no color, but they're wrong. True, light is usually not blue or green.
Colored lights are turned on.
Or red. But as we add colors, we see. It is only when all the colors of the spectrum are combined together, blended in harmony, that we finally achieve pure, clear, and perfect light.
The colored lights converge to produce clear white light.
How rare to witness such a blend of science and the humanities. I expect you will give this project an A.
I don't know. I was thinking A plus.
In the schoolyard.
After all these years, he still surprises me. But I think I now see the attraction for those two. He is eternally childlike.
Lanny and Einstein lick ice cream cones.
Excuse me.
As she approaches, Einstein tries to hide his ice cream cone.
Must we be home already?
Tomorrow, more work, more equations, more unraveling of mysteries.
More battles to be waged.
Thank you for everything you did to help and inspire me.
Help? I did nothing. Everything you needed, you found within yourself.
He smiles at her affectionately and turns away.
Sweetie, come here. Your daddy and I have something for you.
Cliff hands her a black velvet box.
Hey, it's a compass like Dr. Einstein.
Every journey starts with a direction.
Just find yours and go.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus.
As he leaves the schoolyard, Einstein looks back. Lanny waves goodbye to him, and he waves back.
They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that Meg could fly.
Paul Soles as Albert Einstein.
They told Marconi while this was
phony. Lattay Studwood as Lanny Willis. Chris McKinney as Clifton Willis. Sybil Walker as Perla Willis. Linda Sorensen as Helen Dukash. Tom Rack as Dr. Oppenheimer. Sandra Caldwell as Phyllis Lackey. And Shelley Peterson as Miss Fitch.
Who's got the last laugh now?
This program was described by Audio Vision Canada with assistance from the Shaw Children's Programming Initiative. The narrative description was written by Peter Agnes, narrated by Elva Mae Hoover, and produced by Marco Sorin. For a catalog of other described programs, including those in the Inventors series, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Special thanks to Victoria College. Produced with the participation of Home Box Office, Family Channel, Canada's Family Network, CFCF 12, Shaw Children's Programming Initiative, McLean Hunter Television Fund, and the Cogeco Program Development Fund. Copyright 1999, Divine Productions Limited.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all said that we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how. But oh, who's got the last laugh? Let's get the best laugh. Ah, ha, ha. Who's got the last laugh now?